too heavy that he can't hear. I see a face. God still answers prayer. God still answers prayer. In his time, he'll work a miracle.
He does, ain't you?
Well, praise the Lord.
Right quickly again, get signed up for this sweetheart banquet. We're having chicken and chopped steak catered from Sagebrush Steakhouse, and that is the good parts. The food is that's the fun, the fellowship, and the strengthening of your marriage, and God will bless you for that, be sure. And you don't have to be married, just your sweetheart, whatever. Come on to the sweetheart banquet. If you are married, you got to come with the person you're married to, and they have to be the opposite sex. You sometimes just have to say stuff like that. Crazy world, isn't it? All right. Now, this morning, I'm always nervous when I preach. But I'm extra today because of what I'm getting ready to say. I'm going to preach this morning. I want you to open your Bible to the book of Ephesians, first of all, chapter 5. And I'm going to attempt to give you what the Lord has gave me this week, been burning in my heart since about Wednesday or Thursday. Normally, this being the week of Valentine's, we'll preach a message on sweetheart, and I preach on God's sweetheart, and examine your heart, and all the different kind of hearts in the Bible, stuff like that. And we're all familiar with this little sign here. I think I got one here somewhere I drew this morning. Of that, like a heart. And when you talk about giving somebody your heart, like your sweetheart, falling in love, getting married, whatever, you give them your heart. Now, your heart in the Bible is not that organ in there that pumps blood. It's you, the real you, your heart, your soul, your emotions, your feeling. The real inside you. If you only give somebody half your heart, you can fold it like that, and what's it turn into? A question mark. There is a question mark on your love. If there's nobody in here, if you had a sweetheart, you'd say, "Are you my sweetheart?" She'd say, Yeah, today I am, but tomorrow I'm going to be his. See, that's not acceptable, right? And he said, uh-uh. She said, well, you shouldn't gripe. You get me today. That's the way we do each other. That's the way we do the Lord. That's the way people do the Lord. You get me every Sunday. What do you want? Same thing you want from your sweetheart. He wants the whole heart, just like you do. You don't want anybody, anything that is half-hearted. Whatever we do, it ought to be with our heart in it and our whole heart. Now, ladies and gentlemen, please keep your seats. Listen carefully. I'm asking you to pray for me. I'm gonna say some things I've never said before, and my take, and I believe it's right, and a biblical take. I don't have a lot to brag about because I'm a sinner saved by grace. There's one thing I do claim to be. I claim to be fair. And anybody that knows me for years, knows that I'm going to be fair with stuff. And a lot of times people get mad at me because I force them into being fair. They'll say something, I'll say something else, and they get, ooh, I get mad. And what I'm trying to do is make them look at stuff fair. We're in a world that don't look at stuff fairly. We are in a world, remember me saying this, that is against God and the Bible. It's against your home. It's against your marriage. I started wondering. I used to think it was my imagination a few years ago, but I started hearing it other places, and other preachers kept saying it. They kept saying, Brother Danny, we're having a lot of marriages break up in our church. And I said, well, it ain't just here. It's everywhere. It ain't just in the church. It's everywhere. Some of these crazy preachers are going around saying, The divorce rate's same or higher in church than it is among lost people. That's not right because they don't understand what we're talking about because the truth is the people out in the world ain't even bothering to get married. They're just living together. Right. Serving God and living right, you still have a much higher chance of staying together and making your marriage a success. You know that. As a matter of fact, if both of you do what the Bible says, there'll never be a divorce. Ever. But preachers kept telling me, they said, Brother Danny, is it like this at your place? They said, we had 5 divorces in our church in the last few years, and 4 of them was the woman running off and leaving the man. And I said, it is. You're right, it is. 4 out of 5. And then I go somewhere else, and the preacher said, we're having so many families in our church. He said, the weirdest thing is, preacher, it's the woman that's you and the... That's doing the cheating and running 9 out of 10 times. So I got to thinking about that. And I think the Lord gave me the answer. I think I got it figured out. And I'm going to give it to you this morning and say some things both ways. And I'm going to be fair. Now the truth is, the devil is working full time trying to ruin your home. He's out to get every single marriage in this church. By the time you think you're immune, that's when he'll hit you. I've talked to a lot of people where I talked to a man. He said, everything's fine. I talked to a woman. She said, I'm about ready to leave him. See, men are oblivious to what's going on. We're just stupid about stuff like that. How the devil, and you know what that is? The devil is working on the women. Would you agree with that? The devil is working on the women. I didn't say, there you go. I didn't say he don't work on men. There you go. I said the devil is working. I'm going to prove it. You know, the only person in the Bible the devil ever spoke to was Eve. There's not another person in the Bible the devil talked to. Jesus was God, a normal human being. The only person he ever spoke to was Eve. And the Bible, he said unto the woman, and you women in here this morning, the biggest worry you have is them voices that talk to you and put stuff in your head. I'm going to show you in the Bible. I'm going to show you what men and women should do. And we may be here till 1 or 2 o'clock. That's right. I said may. But I'm going to say this till I get done this morning because it's on my heart and I'm going to get it off. Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look here. Look here at verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another. And that ain't talking about married people. That's all Christians. Then he changes the subject. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. If you got a problem with that, you don't need to be getting married. Amen? If a woman's not willing to submit to a man, she has no business marrying him. If a man's not willing to die for a woman, he has no business marrying. Amen? I told you I was fair, ain't I? It's just as hard to be willing to die for somebody as it is to submit to somebody. God is not unfair. Oh, women say, well, why do we have to submit? Why do we have to die for you? Submitting's easy. God, don't you accuse God of being unfair. God is not unfair. And I'm on His side. And that's how I know I'm right. Now look at here. And verse number 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. It didn't say he should be. He said he is. How, preacher? Even as Christ is the head of the church. I hear them on a certain FM radio station up in the mountain constantly twist that verse and make it, well, it don't really mean that. Well, it really does, too. It really does mean that. And the devil will talk to you, and I'm going to show you how he does in just a minute. Look here. Verse up, for the husband is the head of the wife, and Christ is the head of the church, he's the Savior of the body. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husband. Keep your Bibles open. In everything. You say, does that mean that I'm a doormat? No, it does not. Is the church a doormat? Does Jesus mistreat the church? Is he loved the church and gave himself for it? The man does what he's supposed to do. The woman does what he's supposed to do. It'll work. If you don't, you're going to fuss and fight and fuss and fight till you get a divorce. Something can't have two heads. Nothing can. If something has two heads, it's a monster. It's a freak. Somebody got to have the final say. Verse number 23. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There you go, men. That's your job. You love your wife enough to give your life for her. You go to work every day. You take care of her. You make sure she's took care of. You make sure, you know, on and on and on and on. While you're turning to 2 Timothy now. Turn on over to 2 Timothy. We'll read a little more here this morning. 2 Timothy. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, that famous chapter on the last days. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Then I'm going to look at some more scripture here this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Look here in the Bible, and the Bible said this. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3, verse number 6, for of this sort, he just gives you signs of the times, are they which creep into houses, a bunch of creeps, and lead captive silly women. So you have silly women sitting at home. Don't get mad at me, I didn't write the Bible. You got a problem with that? You got a heart problem. Laden with sin. These women are full of sin and full of lust. And the devil creeps in their house and messes with their head. Let's show you here this morning. Let me get me an illustration up here this morning. I need somebody to help me here just a second. Okay. Miss Desi, why don't you come up here and sit right here just a second. Just sit right here. She's not married. I'll use her, and that way nobody can't say I'm talking about them. All right, Miss Bessie, you come right there and sit. All right, she's sitting at home. Her husband is at work. She's sitting here watching the one-eyed idiot box. And all morning, you know what they put on there in the morning? The talk shows, Montel, Oprah, all them from a long time ago, The View, all of them things like that, and she's sitting there like that. Now, the Bible says that those will creep into houses and lead captive silly women. It gets a hold of a woman's mind while she's sitting there watching that TV or on the phone or whatever. I didn't write it. I'm just going to preach it. This sermon is going to make some of y'all mad. And the reason you're going to get mad is, I don't know if you're just guilty or refuse to listen or what. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me, the reason our country's in a mess, the reason we got so many women running off and leaving their husbands. Now, some of them have a right to because their husband ain't worth shooting and cheated on them. I ain't talking to you. Say amen. You scare some of you. I ain't talking to you. If he's a dog, get kicking to the curb and move on. Amen. But her husband's at work, and the devil comes through there talking to her. Dr. Phil, he ain't that bad, but he's unscriptural about half the time. He's smart. He says some good things, but he won't give scriptural advice. So that ain't who you need to be straightening out your marriage. Amen? Now, the Bible said they lead captive silly women. So while she's sitting there talking to him, the devil is talking to her, and he's saying, you going to be his doormat? Are you going to let him tell you what to do? You mean to tell me that where'd you get this stuff? He's the boss. That's exactly what he told Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve was looking at the fruit. The devil came along and said, eat one. She said, no, God said not. Oh, you're going by them stupid rules? You're not free. You're going to let God and Adam boss you around like that? Eat them. Let me ask you something. Would Eve have been a lot better off if she just went ahead and did what God said? Yes, she would have. But the devil said unto the woman, and she listens, and she listens, and all day long she hears this stuff, and all day long she says, I wonder how come when a man comes in, he said, if a man come in, and I've never done this, but some men do, if a man come in and said, did you fix me something to eat? He's controlling. Where does that stuff come from? That ain't nothing wrong with that. She can say, clean up that mess over there. She's controlling.
Yeah. Preach on,
brother. I'm fair. I ain't married. I ain't on nobody's side. If she says, turn here, take me there, turn over here, don't park here, park over there, she's controlling, right? If you always got to eat where she wants to eat, and she's always got to, you don't even go out on Friday night unless she wants to. If she wants to, you go. If she don't want to, you don't go. She's controlling, right? See how messed up your head is by watching TV all the time? He opens his mouth. He's controlling me. No, you're controlling him about 80% of the time. Now, it shouldn't be either way. If it's Friday night, me and my wife right here are going out. You better not be doing me wrong. If Friday night, it should never just be all my way. It should know that we always have to go where he wants. We always have to do what he wants. We always have to go. If you got a husband like that, I'm praying for you that he'll get his heart right with God, the big overgrown baby. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something else, bless the Lord. It ain't always supposed to be her way either. Now, every marriage has got somebody that's running it. Or you get a divorce. You'll claw each other's eyes out if somebody ain't got the final say. And it's nitpicking over little things. I think we ought to go here. Well, I don't. I do. I don't. I do. I don't. I don't. And it takes 3 hours of fighting, and either she'll give in or he'll give in. And some usually young men said, happy wife, happy life. Honey, whatever you say, if you'll just shut up. I'm going to show you some scripture for that in just a minute. Sherry's telling me last night, I don't even know this woman. She sent me a text on her last night. She's Kirk Cameron's sister. What's her name? Candace. Candace Cameron. You know Kirk Cameron, he got pretty right for a movie star. He got more right than most movie stars. Most of them, they try and get saved, they ain't no change in their life. But thank God that old boy has took a stand. And I mean, I praise God. He made that fireproof movie and courageous and all. And God's used him to help a lot of people. I know some of my Baptist brethren that see me preaching this morning will criticize me, but I'm not saying I agree with him or anything. I'm saying, thank God, I believe he got the goods. I mean, they go out on the street and witness. That's more than some of you people watching this do. Amen? He will go out and try to win souls. But anyway, Kirk Cameron's sister got right with God, and she wrote a book about something about being a good wife and stuff, and she was telling me that they had her on The View, and she said, I believe in being submissive to my husband, and they about had a heart attack They laughed. They criticized her. They said, "We cannot believe. You mean you let him tell you what to do?" Now listen, submission is a choice, people. You can't make a person submit. Nobody can. If you make them do it, it ain't submission. You choose. The Lord don't make me submit to him. You know why I try to do right? I choose to submit my life to the Lord. You know why? Because he knows what's best for me. He takes care of me. And it's right. There's a chain of authority. God the Father, the Son, the husband, the wife, the children, the spirit of this age, and movies, and television, and country music is all saying the same thing. Don't be nobody's doormat. Don't you let no man walk over you. Translated, walk over him. Translated, let him be your doormat. Translated, tell him what to do. You say, we both make, there's no such thing. We only have one president of the United States. And we have a vice president on there. You can't have two presidents. You can't have two pastors. You can't have two heads of a company. There's somebody at the head, and everybody submits to them, or you're going to fight like cats and dogs.
Yeah, preach it, brother. Amen.
And if you ain't willing to do that, you don't need to get married.
That's the book,
brother. Amen. All right. We're going to read some more scripture here this morning. I'm just in the introduction. I ain't told you the title. See about that one guy said he asked this girl to marry him, and she said no, and he lived happily ever after. That's bad, Ann. That's awful. One guy told me, he said, his wife woke up, and she said, it was Valentine's Day, and she said, "Where you going, honey?" She laughed at me. I knew once I set my foot down, it wouldn't work. It's all right. I want that ring back now. And that car I bought you is sitting out there. Listen. What was I saying before she interrupted me? They give Kirk Cameron's sister down the road. They said, you must be an idiot. She said, no. She said, actually, I'm a strong-willed person, but I choose to follow the leadership of my husband to make my marriage work and happy, because that's God's ordained plan. Oh, I can't believe it. That's why Whoopi and them can't keep somebody.
Yeah, man. Preach on.
That's why Hollywood's really who we ought to be looking at. Ain't they got a great example for us all to follow? Boy, if anybody in the world ought to be not listened to, it's Hollywood on how to make a relationship work. They're trying to tell us we're crazy. They don't leave the church reception together.
Woman
woke up. One man came to this woman. He thought he was falling in love with her, and he said, "I'll do anything in the world for you." She said, "Okay." He said, "Three words, say it, and I'll do anything. Clean my house." That was her three words. One woman woke up and she said, she woke up and she told her husband, she said, I dreamed that you bought me a diamond necklace for Valentine's Day. She said, "What do you think the interpretation of that dream is?" He said, "Tonight you'll know." Well, that night came, and he brought a little package, and she was so excited, and she tore it open and looked in it. It said, "There's a little book on how to interpret dreams." I'm looking for some more scripture here, and I got it for you. I got so much stuff I want to say. Some of you girls, I can tell you a problem right now. You're never going to be happy. And the reason you're never going to be happy is because you will not submit to a man's leadership. And if you do, the devil tells you he's walking on you. He's walking over you. You're a doormat. And you can't be happy either way. You can't be happy if you do, and you can't be happy if you don't. And you're miserable. And your problem is with God. I ain't talking about a mean man. I ain't talking about a hateful man. I ain't talking about an old grouchy man that loves his son. We'll get to him in just a minute. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Your marriage is your commitment. This off subject, but you should never belittle, scold, or insult, or play head games, or try to make your mate feel unnecessarily guilty to hurt them. Let's open our Bible to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Everybody in the church, look at this scripture. Man says, every Friday night, I just keep my mouth shut. We just go wherever she wants to go and do whatever she says. Now, it's good to do that, but you shouldn't have to do that all the time. It should never always be his way. It should never always be her way. That's why I love the church. Some of you men, once in a while, you ought to just say, "Honey, whatever you want to do, wherever you want to go, stand around in the mall. Walk around with her in the mall." I know you hate that. Walk around with her in the mall. Very good. Amen? You want me to be fair? Can we just be fair this morning? I mean, nobody here but us and the Lord and the devil and who knows who all over the world watching this. He comes up and wants to kiss her. She said, "Get away from me. You just treat me as a sex object." Okay. Next time she says, "Honey, we got these bills to pay," say, "You just treat me as a money object." That's fair. That's fair, bless God. I mean, you expect him to... What if he's got a headache? He pays the bills anyway! For the three that said amen, hallelujah. For the rest of you, we'll give you your dollar back you gave me to go. Well, if he don't feel like going to work, he goes anyway! Get away from me. Don't touch me. Okay, keep my money in my pocket, too. You want to be fair about it, right? You expect him to do his job. You expect him to be good to you. You be good to him. Work both ways. You expect her to submit to you. You love her and don't be hateful to her and mean to her. I'm either messing up or doing good one because y'all just sitting there. I don't know which one. I'm just getting started. Let's read here. Ephesians chapter number 4. I preached on this not too long ago, but this is for married people this morning. Verse 31, Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness. Now there's your husband's problem right there. The Bible said over in Colossians, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. There's a strong temptation for a man to get bitter against a woman. Because she's a continual dripping, to quote the Bible. Want the Bible? Proverbs. I'll give it to you in just a minute. The fussing, a griping of a woman is a continual drip, 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 drip. It's done quit raining yesterday. Still, drip, drip, drip. The fuss is over. Drip, drip, drip. And it's easy to get bitter against that. You pray that every bit of bitterness gets out of your heart. Men and women. Me and you. I ask myself, "Lord, do I have bitterness towards anybody?" And it's that, man, I've got it down in me. And I say, "Lord, get that out of me. It ain't right. This is toward anybody, not just your mate." Look here. All right. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger. Some of you ladies, your middle name ought to be mad. You stay mad. Some of you men, here it comes. Let's pray. Daddy be in a good mood. Don't upset Daddy. Don't upset her. You know how she gets. Everybody walk on eggshells. She's got about to blow. Nobody ought to be that big of an immature baby that they can't control herself in their own house. Now, we all let stuff get to us once in a while. Everybody does. But it said, anger. Look at this, ladies. Clamor. You know what clamor means? Loud arguing. You're not supposed to raise your voice to each other. Loud, noisy arguing. I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And you're going to get divorced. You're going to get divorced if you ain't careful. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. What does the word malice mean? Let's all study that this morning. The word malice means the wish or desire to see somebody suffer. Hurt somebody. I want to see them hurt. The Bible says we're not supposed to do that. Have you done that?
Yes.
Have I done that? Yes. That's what causes problems. The Lord said don't do it. Now, what do we supposed to do to each other? Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. The man told one, he says, "Boy, you got kind hair. Kind grows on dog's back." But he said, be ye kind one to another. Tender-hearted. Tender-hearted. Are you tender-hearted toward your mate? Forgiving one another. How much, preacher? Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. A man asked me one time, somebody done me wrong. He said, "How in the world do you forgive somebody like that?" And I said, "Here's the way I forgive people." I always remember that verse. Carrie, I think she memorized it when she was little. It's a little song. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Toot-toot-doodly-doo. Ephesians 4:32. Wasn't that it? Remember that? We learned that when she was just a little tiny thing. And I've never forgot that. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. And a lot of times the Holy Ghost has rebuked my heart and said, "You better forgive, for Christ's sake, as I've forgiven you." That's okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord, you help me. You help me. It ain't right for you to hold something against your mate, that, especially if they've repented and told you they're sorry. Somebody comes and says, "I'm sorry." It ain't right for you to hold it against them and hold it against them unless you want God to hold yours against you. God's been mighty good to you. God's been awful merciful to you. You be merciful to them. Now, if they're continuing in sin and, you know, and they're a liar and they won't repent and all that, that's a different story. I'm not talking about that. Some of y'all are never going to be happy because you won't submit to a man. And if you do, the devil tells you you're a doormat and you're still miserable. You're never going to be happy. You say, "You're a sexist." Well, I reckon God is then. You know what the people on The View would say? They'd say God's a sexist. God's a male chauvinist. He said the husband is the head of the wife. That makes God unfair, according to the people on The View. We'll tell you something this morning. The people on The View are led by the devil. I stand on what this book said. By God's grace, so this world's on fire, and we'll see who's right one of these days.
Amen.
Their philosophy sure don't work. Amen? Be you kind. Be you kind. Tenderhearted. They took a fit over that verse that said the woman's a weaker vessel. They were fussing and said, I cannot believe you believe the woman's a weaker vessel. That's stupid. I mean, who would have a problem with that? Nobody in their right mind has a problem with the Bible saying a woman's a weaker vessel. It didn't say she's dumber. It didn't say she wasn't spiritual. It didn't. Calm down, girl. Physically, she's weaker. To tell you the truth, let's be fair about it. For the most part, in most churches, women are stronger than men in every other area except physically. They're stronger morally, for the most part. They're stronger. They're more dedicated to church. It was the women that went to Jesus' cross. It was the women that stayed with Him right where He died. The disciples was who know where, out and fled and backslid. Women are stronger mentally, spiritually, and every other way except physically. And that's what it's talking about. Don't get all bent out of shape. And said, "Well, it's not fair." God said, "Man, if you think we're equal, we'll let all the women get over here and all the men get over here and we'll fight and see who wins." See, that's stupid. I mean, you're so brainwashed by equality preaching on TV that you can't even think straight. That's what I'm doing. I'm making you think straight. Just because you're weaker don't mean you have a right to torture him and verbally abuse him. You can beat somebody without ever making a mark on them. Amen? You sure can. Now the Bible says in Proverbs 21:19 that it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. I guess God is a sexist. You like that verse? You're better off in Afghanistan. You're better off in Afghanistan eating 3 meals a day army food than live with a woman that's contentious and angry all the time. God have mercy on you, fellas.
He said, well, if he'd just do like I want him to.
There you go. The truth is, you ain't going to change him, and he ain't going to change you. And the only way it's going to work is for both of y'all to do what this book says right here. And if you ain't willing to do that, you got problems in your future and in your present. And you really got problems, only one of you wants to do it. And she said, slow down. Turn here. I don't want to go there. Okay, I guess she's controlling then, right? Evil speaking. There should never be any derogatory name calling or calling his mother names or her mother. You should be respectful to your wife or husband's family.
Amen.
Evil speaking. Amen. I'll just throw something out. If you don't see something fair, and you're happy, I ain't going to agree with this. It's because you're brainwashed. It's like this. If a boy gets a girl pregnant, and you ain't going to like this, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I've always been like this, and if I believe something, it's coming out of me sooner or later. I ain't faking. Everything I say here, I mean it. And that's what people like about me. I am what I am. If a boy gets a girl pregnant, according to the law and our society and all of us, he's supposed to support that child, right? I believe that. You big enough to make one, you big enough to take care of it, boys. Amen? You sorry if you won't support your own kids. Like them rappers. And if a man is required by law to support that baby that girl has, so he's the legal father, he's supposed to take care of it, right? Right, we all agree on that. Okay, let's flip it back around. If he's obligated to take care of it, then bless the Lord, he ought to have a right to say if she can get an abortion or not. It's his kid. How come she don't, you want to be fair? Let's be fair. How come she shouldn't have to say, he ought to sign the paper and say, I agree to let you. Oh, it's her body. No, it ain't. It's his kid and it's the baby's body. If he ought to take care of it, he's got a right to say if it dies or not. You know how that would go over on TV? Boom. It wouldn't get 2 seconds of airtime. But it's as right as John 3:16. That didn't cost you nothing. It's better to dwell in the corner of the housetop, up in the attic, than with a brawling woman in a double wide. It says wide house. I've said double wide. Translated. Well, our whole society, listen to me, girls, our whole society, starting right here, is geared toward making women feel like victims. Our whole society is geared toward that. Just like it's making kids rebel against parents. You know, society is geared nowadays to tell kids, you don't have to do what your parents say. You don't have to. It's against the Bible. That's why we've got kids killing parents. That's why we've got kids going crazy. While our society is telling them, you don't have to do what your parents said. And parents, you have no right to tell them nothing either. No right. They don't believe in spanking. They don't believe in discipline. And we've got, I can feel a little kick back in here this morning. And this is a Baptist church. The whole world used to believe like this. The whole country used to believe like this. That shows how far off we've got. The society is telling you that you're a victim. That you're a victim. That you're a victim. That you're a victim. Look at it scripturally. If you got a good Christian husband that loves God, he ain't perfect. And you try your best to be the wife God wants you to be. If you've got a good Christian wife that loves God, she ain't perfect. You try your best to do what God wants you to do. You want your marriage to work. You know what will happen? You're a victim, 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 you're a victim. And he's at work saying, golly, man, no matter what I do, she ain't happy. No matter what I give her, she ain't happy. And then the devil will send somebody else along and say, oh, you're the prettiest thing I've ever seen in my life. And you'll say, he accepts me like I am. Now, the reason for that is, he don't know you. 2 years, he'll be gone. Ain't that right? Ain't that the way them women at work, where y'all work, do? As soon as he finds out what a sweetheart you are, he'll do the same thing that I did. The reason he thinks you're all that, because he don't know you. You flirted with him, and you dress up more for him at work than you do for your husband. Amen. You look like a hag when you go somewhere, and look like Marilyn Monroe when you go to work, and that guy at work thinks you're all that all the time. He don't know what a griping, clamorous bellyacher you are. Same way with men. I've seen men get ready and slick that hair back, put on cologne, go into work every day. Hey, you look nice today. Hey. And then come in and be an absolute smart aleck and grouch to their wives and husbands. And the reason that girl at work thinks you're so great is because you're a hypocrite and put on a good front in front of her.
Oh, yeah.
And she don't know what a jerk you really are. The truth is, Brother Roy and Miss Millie over here, I waited today to say this. Was it last Sunday? Celebrated their 55th anniversary. Isn't that a blessing? Let's all give them a big hand. 55th anniversary. Have they ever disagreed on anything? No. Well, of course they have. Of course they have. But you know what Miss Millie's got that a lot of you girls need? She's smart enough to figure that if she does what God said, her and the whole family would be better off. They had a perfect marriage? No, I mean, they ain't never told me their trouble, but I ain't stupid. I know they raised three girls. They've had problems. I guarantee you there's been times when she wanted to hug him. You didn't, did you? You didn't, did you? You choked him? Did you? I'm crushed. Why'd you tell me that? You was my life hope. No, I'm just kidding. You choked, Brother Roy. Okay, you hugged him real hard with your hands. I just love you, Roy. I guarantee you felt like it. Amen. See there? It's 5 years. Now, here's what most of y'all think. Most of y'all think, well, they just lucked up and married the right one. No, they didn't. One man told me, he said, well, I married the wrong one. I hate to tell you this, but after you're married, they are the right ones. You might have married the wrong one, but as soon as you say I do, they're the right one then. That's why you better think and pray and be willing to die for her. And if you ain't, don't get married. You know, we'll just shack up. That's worse. God will kill you for that, to keep that up. I've heard people say, well, we lived together 5 years and got along fine since we got married. We fight and fuss like cats and dogs. You know why that is, don't you? The devil pushes you together before you're married and apart as soon as you get married. Are you not smart enough to figure that out? Don't call them names. Don't call his mama names. Don't call her mama names. When you marry somebody, you marry the whole family. I like that. Like it or not. Well, I'm about done here this morning. I'm sure I left out some things. Next time she says, all you want me for is my body. Say, all you want me for is my money. Truth. If it works one way, it works the other way. I'm not a sex object. I'm not a bank either, bless God. That's TV putting that bull in your head. And I prayed and fasted, begged God to let me see what, and I believe I've got it. The spirit of this age is to make women feel like victims and kids hate their parents. And both of them's of the devil. Now, we got some sorry men, I'll grant you that. The best people in the world are good women. Amen? Always have been. Women are better than men any day of the week, for the most part, in churches everywhere. We got some sorry men. But if it's ever going to work, you're going to have to accept your role. I mean, men you provide for. If she works a full-time job, you ought to do half the housework. That's right. Dishes. Wash clothes, everything. She's doing half your job, you ought to do half hers. I mean, ain't that, I'm being fair.
That's right.
Boy, one man saying that. Yeah, I'm going. You men don't like that, do you? But you want her to bring that paycheck and pay half the bills. You do half her work. You lazy thing. Now, we're going to do this morning. We're going to memorize Ephesians 4:32. Here's the answer to all your marriage problems. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one toward another. Tender hearted. That's not hard hearted. Forgiving one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I never did give this message a title. I don't reckon this message has a title. Except I hope every one of y'all have a wonderful Valentine. I might have just preached myself out of a job right here today. Some of you are young, and you don't get what I'm saying. But the day's going to come when you're going to say, that old man was right. Let's stand by our head for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll just pray for a minute here this morning. I mean, I know you're not going to come to altar. Just pray softly this morning. We're going to pray. Seriously, if you want to come, husbands and wives, slip out of your seat. Come down here and let's pray. Single people, teenagers, don't matter. If you need to come pray, come on. Let God speak to your heart this morning. Every one of us. Every one of us. Married, single, divorced, separated. You that are separated, I feel so sorry for you. My heart goes out to you. That's an awful shape to be in. It's awful.